Jimmy, it was awesome to spend time with you. Thank you for stopping by and hanging out. It was great, man. That was a lot of fun.
I went the other way.
I know you went the other way.
No, going up through Louisville would have put another six hours. No, honestly, I look because I would have stopped to. I love you, but I would have stopped to see my good buddy Bobby at Bullet Bourbon, try and get more work. But I looked at the thing, and it was another 5 or 6 hours onto the trip to go, because you go up towards Ohio, and then you turn up through Cincinnati, and you go across Pennsylvania the long way. Instead, I went up through the Carolinas and through the Virginias. And
yeah, I guess there are the Virginias.
And and then up into Pennsylvania, Jersey, New York, Eastern. Yeah, that's what it was. That was the order. So I did that instead, but I drove straight through down and straight through back. And when you do that and you push yourself, you realize you only need 15 minutes of sleep every 24 hours.
That's what you find
out. That's what you need. Seriously. On the way down, I probably slept an hour. And on the way home, I slept for 10 minutes at one rest stop. And then I just kept pushing. And then I was about 60 miles from my house. This one rest stop, all my friends know, and I stopped at the rest stop, and I was like, boom, 2 full hours. And I woke up, and I was like, whoa, where am I?
Yeah, you need sleep.
And And so that was it. Yesterday, I caught up. But it was a fun trip. I'm glad I went. Got to hang
out. You caught up? You got like a solid 4 hours?
I did. No, I got like 5. WorkbenchCon was fun. It was good to see a lot of people, but there was half as many people as the year before, just low turnout. And I don't think it had anything to do. Well, there might have been some technical stuff. Maybe just people coincided with not being able to be available. But in general, I was talking with a few people, and me and Steve Ramsey was there. We were talking. And it was, I think what happens is these events over the last 15 years with all of us, 14 solid years. Some of these events develop an energy on their own, and they develop almost a viral, are you going, are you going? And suddenly it becomes the thing you don't want to miss, even if it's the same reoccurring event. But once in a while, it has the opposite effect, where it's like, I'm not going. Everybody feels like they've had enough. Same with me. We make Essential. I didn't go to Make Essential last year, but I'm going this year. Last year, it just was coming up fast, and I just never committed. And I said, and that tends to have a little bit of a rolling effect on everybody in general when everyone starts making the calls. You going, you going, you going, you going. And I think that's what happened this year. The attendance was down, but it was still very meaningful. Got to see, he'll probably be my suggestion, this kid Ryan, very, very inspirational talk, really, really accomplished young man. He's not even 30 yet, and he's doing really good stuff. I got to see his talk, and then we talked personally a few times throughout the weekend, and I got to hang out with my friends at Total Boat, and it was fun to see them. And I whipped up this haphazard sign in a little bit of a rush to bring with me to do sort of color by numbers with the poured epoxy, and I came up with this concept where everybody could put their sticker in the background, and it turned out really good. You guys might have seen it on Instagram. I'll send you a picture now. Turned out really good, and everybody throughout the weekend was coming and looking all day Saturday. I spent my time on it all day Saturday. I was like, where's my sticker? And then I covered it with a color, and that color went dark. I put a little tint in the color, but it turns out it looked good. If you look at this, the lightest version of this color that you guys will see in a second is the color that it was before cured. But as it cured, it got darker. I guess maybe I didn't mix in the epoxy, the pigment. I'll send it to you right now. But it came out good. Everybody was looking. And then, it's striking a nerve when everybody at Total Boat is like, I want it. And they're like, no, I'm taking it.
That's awesome.
So all the white border is just a very thin laser cut acrylic that's glued to a circle background.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
And I created little troughs to pour the
color. So did you do the
reveal that's on my...
It kind of fades from top to bottom. Was that on purpose or is that the color?
No, okay. The way that happened was because I mixed up one color for the bottom and then it wasn't enough, so I had to mix up some more. And when I mixed up some more, I put a little too much tint in it. But it looked the same. I felt like I put a little, it was just slightly darker, not nearly as dark as it looks like. Anyway, so I tried to swirl the colors, the pores together, but it was difficult to swirl them through the lettering and the graphic, because now those are all little dams everywhere. And so that was fun. I like doing demos at events like this because it gives me something to do versus just standing around. Keeps my hands occupied. And it also invokes a lot of questions versus just like, so what are you making next? What's your next big thing? That's what everybody says. Everybody says, what's your next big thing? I really honestly have no idea. Things just come up and then that's the it. I really don't know.
You would think we would plan more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after the car, which is going to take me another 8 months, after the car, what's the next big thing? Hey, if you don't know me, you don't realize I don't think past the next 2 days about anything, unfortunately. What's the next big thing?
Well, I mean, so it was a good trip, worthwhile?
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. Everyone thinks I drove with Derek because that was an early concept, but I drove by myself and Derek flew in and out. He's got real work. So he can't take, I don't have a job, so I could just take days to drive. He can't afford to just sit in the car and do nothing for two solid days.
Just going back to the planning thing. This morning I was listening to an interview with Johnny Harris, and he has across all of his channels, has the next 6 months planned. And that was just like, that's so unfun. That is absolutely unfun. I like being able to just, you know what, this week I'm going to work on this particular thing and just go with the flow. Yeah.
I wonder if that is...
He's got a team, so you got a plan.
Yeah. I wonder how hard those plans are, though. Like, if it's like we have a safeguard of 6 months that's kind of rolling and things can change, you know. I mean, because I'll kind of do that. Like, I have a few months of rolling ideas, but a lot of them just keep getting pushed down the line because I'll come up with something that's more interesting or more, you know, seasonal or whatever kind of gets priority. But so who is Johnny Harris? Who's Johnny Harris?
He does like a, most of his videos are like a news type thing. You know, like what's going on in China, but he's got a couple of, every once in a while he does non-news stuff where it'll be like, why do McDonald's ice cream machines never work? And how America ruined bread and stuff like that. Yeah. They're super high effort videos. Yeah.
Is it an old one, How America Ruined Bread? I feel like I've seen that.
That's probably a year old or so.
I think I've seen that.
Well, that's the reason I was asking that is because, one, I didn't know who he was, but also, you know, planning out 6 months or planning out the future of videos, I think changes a lot depending on what type of video you make, right? If it's something probably in journalism type stuff, you have to plan because there's research to do and there's like preparation and fact checking and theoretically fact checking. And there's all this stuff that you would have to prepare before you probably shoot it in a day or 2 days or something. But there's that preparation, planning and scripting and all that type of stuff. If you're doing narrative stuff, there's pre-production and scripting and practice. And then we do what we do. It's like a totally different set of preparation. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. But
I couldn't even imagine making my videos without Amazon 2-day delivery and living in a city where I could just go get stuff.
Yeah.
Because I would have to plan.
Yeah. A while back, I was driving somewhere to a soccer game or something, and we were going through part of Kentucky that's like, it's out in the middle of nowhere, and it's just in between two places that have names, right? And so I passed this house that was on, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 acres, just a huge, open, beautiful field, and there's a house sitting out there in the middle of it, and then right behind it, there was a pretty new construction, like metal building sealed up, you know, like it wasn't just like a barn. It was like a nice looking, I put a big significant building in the back of this thing. This is in the middle of nowhere. And I remember driving past that thing and like, that would be awesome to be able to be out in the middle of nowhere, really far away from everything, except for what you just mentioned. Like I couldn't get stuff and I probably wouldn't have internet. And so that would make it really difficult to be out there. But being that far away from everything actually would be pretty cool too. So. And maybe they have amazing internet. You know, maybe the only person on their fiber line or something. So they have everything. But anyway, David, what have you been doing? You didn't go to WorkbenchCon.
I did not go to WorkbenchCon. I've never been to WorkbenchCon. I'm sorry.
I've been to all seven of them. All seven of them.
I don't like leaving the house. So this is... I got this from the Goodwill, this little Casio keyboard. And this is the next project. So I'm gutting this toy keyboard, and I'm going to make it look like a classic Moog or Korg synthesizer where the back is angled up and do my Pachuto thing. But it...
Are you sure that that will work with that keyboard?
Yes, I've taken it apart.
Awesome.
And
cool.
And the ribbon cable that connects the keyboard to the electronics is long enough. If it wasn't long enough, it's a simple ribbon cable where I could extend it if I needed to.
Awesome.
You know, a million different tries on the laser to try to get everything lined up perfectly. But
what's your process? Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
Yeah.
What is your process for that? For getting that those layouts and stuff? Are you taking pictures from above and tracing that kind of thing?
I normally take a picture from above on a known size sheet. Like if it's something small, I'll put it on 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And that rectangle will help me fix any kind of perspective errors. And then I'll sometimes throw a ruler in the photo, and then I can redraw everything and get everything precise. I found the PDF manual for this keyboard, and I was able to pull the vectors from that.
That's cool.
They weren't perfect. So it still took a whole bunch of tries, but it got me in the ballpark. It might have been easier to just take the photo. It might have been quicker to draw it myself, but
I'll take a picture on a cutting mat. That's what I do, and then I make a 1-inch grid.
That's perfect because it's already got the grids on there. And
then you skew the picture till it fits in the grid you drew online.
So I'm complicating this one because I am adding a tube preamp in it and tone controls. I know very little about wiring up preamplifiers, so I still got a little, it almost works, but we're getting close. Still a little bit more experimentation. And then on that back panel that's angled up, I bought a couple, they're arriving today, guitar pedals, a delay, reverb, a chorus, and then, those three pedals, and they're going to get integrated into the back. So
you won't
see the guitar pedals, but you will see the controls. So it'll have that classic synthesizer look with all the knobs on the back. It's going to have speakers with grill cloth on there because there are speakers built into it. And this one's going to take a while, but I think if it comes out the way I've pictured it in my head, it's going to be one of my favorite projects.
Awesome. Yeah.
I need to slow down and not get too excited because there's always these hiccups in the middle of these projects.
Right.
But so yesterday I recorded the song with the stock sounds on there. And that song is going to be used in the video during the taking apart. So I've taken it apart so I can understand what's going on. I put it all back together. Now we're going to film me taking it apart. And then so that song and its original state will be used for that little montage. And then at the end, we're going to do a new song with all the new electronics and the preamp and the effects built into it. And it's even got, it's got little drum pads in here that I am going to sample. And you can't program drum patterns on there. So I'm going to sample it and then use it for, the beats. So
That's awesome.
This is one of those videos I'm really, really excited about.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how that comes out. That's cool. And see, it's a bummer because it's a totally selfish joke, but it's a bummer because that project sounds really awesome, like something I would like to do. And I can't do it because you do that type of thing and you do it really well.
You know what the answer is to that. I don't
know. Well, I know, but still.
I'm not the first one to do that. There's this amazing Instagram. He's written books, but he's probably most known on Instagram called Love Hutton. I think he's Swedish. I'm not sure, but he takes synthesizers and then recases them into these amazing art pieces and combines them. Like he is like my idol when it comes to this stuff. So I will definitely be giving him shout outs to it because he's a huge inspiration in these types of builds.
Awesome. Did I ever tell you, this may be like pretty far down the musical tangent. Did I ever tell you about that thing that we built when I was in a band after college? We called it the Eisenheim. Ever tell you about this?
Doesn't sound familiar.
So this band I was in, it was kind of like rock, noisy, spacey kind of rock stuff. I don't know. And so I played, we had a bass, guitar, drummer, singer, and then I played guitar and keys at the same time. And so I had like multiple keyboards set up and then a huge guitar pedal board. And I would go back and forth between those instruments. And so I play with a lot of pedals and I love like creating sound in addition to creating music. So we ended up taking I found a photo theremin kit. So it's a theremin, but instead of using like the magnetic poles, it uses lights and light sensors. And so as the sensor gets more light, it does the same job of the poles. So you can change the woo, you know, of the theremin with your hand or with something blocking the light. Okay. So that was the idea. So I found this kit. We built this box and put a big, one of those like Edison bulbs, those giant, crazy looking bulbs right in the middle of it. There may have been two of them. I think it was just one. And then we took two of these photo sensors for the two different parts of a theremin. There's two things that have to be changing. There's pitch and volume, I guess. And so we put those on the front corners of this little box, looking at the light bulb. And so you could stick your hand in front of each one of them and control that part of the thing, that part of the sensor. And then inside this box, we also put a delay and a tremolo and maybe something, another pedal. And so we took all the guts out, stuck them in this box, and the controls just came up through the face of this box, and they were just
sounds
little
like
black
needed
knobs.
Scenes of video, I think.
And so at certain parts of the song, this was like on a pedestal and it would just sit there for the show and look weird. And then at certain parts of this one song or a couple of songs, our singer would go up and flip the light on. And so then you have this giant light bulb that's just right in the middle of the stage. And then he starts like moving his hands around in front of this light bulb and turning these knobs. And the sound in the background is just like, you know, I think we had a distortion in it too. That was what made it really crazy. And so there was music going on, and then there was this kind of performative light thing happening. It was so much fun. Like, it was fun to make. It was fun to watch him use. And I don't even know what happened to that thing.
You gotta make
it. Still know
it
again. Everybody in the band. It's somewhere. But anyway.
I met a young gentleman, Josh Booth. He was in that band. Was he in that band?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was.
He's at Workbench Con last couple
that's
years.
Right. Yeah, he was talking about photography.
He said you were a very good guitar player. He really did give you some props.
Nah, I don't know about that.
No,
the other guy.
This is what he said. He said you were very good on several instruments. He said you'd be playing and then you just like let go of the guitar and start jamming on the keyboard and go back and forth. He said you were very impressive. So that's not even a joke. That's true. True story.
It's nice of him. Hi, Josh, if you're listening. I haven't seen Josh in a long time. What is that? David,
you're muted. Muted?
Look like he's muted. He's not actually muted, but he's muted.
He's fumbling. He's fumbling. He's working. He's got the soldering iron out. He's working. He's working. He's laughing. He's chuckling. He just threw his phone up in the air and caught it over his shoulder.
Are we back? We're back.
Yes, we're back.
We're back. Power went out. I don't know why.
Weird.
It's an issue. Maybe it's the mic. But this guy, the inspiration. So this, he took a synthesizer, cased it, added an oscilloscope in there, and he does all these crazy, amazing recreations. They're just...
Dang. Is this the guy you were talking about just a minute ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They're just phenomenal. And he makes these synthesizers for a lot of famous artists, and he's just so absolutely incredible. Bob, you should totally remake that.
That would be fun. Even if
instrument.
You just made a theremin.
Yeah, I would. That sounds absolutely amazing. You should totally redo it for video. There's a whole story there of like, you can theremin. Talk about your band days and then this thing and how your daughter's getting into music. There's a whole story in a video right there.
Yeah.
Phototherapy, then you write a song.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
put
my
on your
first,
old band clothes, you know, like
my, my first feeling is that video would do terribly. That's like my gut reaction.
Does that matter?
It kind of matters. It kind of matters because, you know, I got bills to pay and stuff. But
well, I mean, there's a hook in everything. That's the hardest part of our job. So
yeah.
You just got to figure out what that hook is.
And it's the part that I like coming up with the least.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the difficult. Yeah.
Yes.
I keep wanting to put that as the last thing, and you can't really do that. Anyway, what was the guy's name? I'm going to put him in the show notes.
Love Holton.
Love Holton. H-U Holton. Cool.
And
right, yeah, I'm going
to
check
You should just
out.
Link to his Instagram because his Instagram is phenomenal.
Okay. Awesome. Well,
so you said you added distortion to your theremin box. I tried experimenting with different distortions on this keyboard. It just sounds horrible. The little sounds on this keyboard just do not horrible. Sometimes horrible in a good way. So it's why I'm not adding a distortion pedal inside this keyboard. So I will be able to drive the tube preamplifier a little bit so you can get a little bit of grit, but full on distortion just sounds awful on this thing.
Yeah. I think ours was more of a noisemaker than a, you know, than an actual instrument, like in your case. And if I remember correctly, we put it was probably just an overdrive. I don't remember exactly, but I remember we put it, pre-delay. So if anybody that doesn't play guitar or use pedals, the order in which you put these pedals, the sound passes through them in series. And so the order that you put the pedals has a lot to do with the sound that comes out, because you can either delay distortion or you can distort a delay. A delay is when you repeat a sound over and over with a time delay in between it. And so when you have a sound that's happening like da 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 da, and then you distort all of those, it's like... Instead of the other way, where it's like, you know, like a distorted sound that happens over and over again. You can do a lot of different stuff with the way that you order those, and sometimes it makes it completely useless, just too much noise. Anyway.
Now you've got me thinking. So all the effects pedals that I'm adding to there, do I make it so you can patch in the order, or do I, because I was originally going to just wire it in. Hardwired in.
I mean, putting a little patch bay at the top would.
I know.
That looks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Now it's instead of a month long project, it's a 2 month long project.
You're welcome.
I didn't mention this early on, but I'm building a speaker kit. We started yesterday, me and Patrick.
I saw it.
Yeah. Patrick said he was going to do all the complicated stuff, which would prohibit me from ever even wanting to attempt it. And Patrick's talking about preamps and this and that. I'm like, can we just air connected to an iPhone? He's like, well, you need a preamp. And I was like, sounds so complicated. I'm just gonna put on my headset. So but we're building these two crazy set of speakers. CSS is the company. Have you guys heard?
I've worked with them.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had a feeling you did, because I know you've built speakers over the years. And so I got a nice kit from those guys in exchange for the video, and we're working on it. So Pat's out there. I said, let's just wire one completely up off camera, and then we've been filming most of it, but while I'm here with you guys, he's probably going to get that one wired up completely, and then we'll do the other one on camera, and then I'm going to do some deco around the outside, and they're going to go in the leather studio.
The great thing about speaker builds is the videos seem to have a long shelf life. So I've got a couple of speaker builds, and they still get comments, and they still get views. And, you know, at first, you're going to be like, You're going to get all the, this is amazing, I love what you do. And then a year down the road, the speaker nerds are going to start watching the
you're
video.
You're doing it wrong.
And you are doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all right. At the end, Patrick's going to be listening to the music. I'll have my Beats on in the corner. Listen to a podcast. And Patrick's been making these Spotify lists. He's like, it's going to be great. I go, Pat, I cannot play any of these songs. I go, you got to understand, I cannot play anything from Motown. I cannot play anything. I say, you got to understand. So he's got a friend who makes music. So he's going to make some conga music, which I love. So,
and you can say in the video, technically the speakers aren't supposed to be up against the wall, but this is the best place to put them in our living room because I'm not putting speakers in the middle of the living room. I'll say that in the video, but I'll get comments for years saying you can't put your speakers up against the wall.
Watch me. Yes, I can. Yeah,
you think it would be safe to put them on like a little three-legged stand? Is that safe?
Probably, yeah.
So you have...
Then there's like... vibration and stuff.
Yeah.
So you what really, are you supposed to do? Hang them from wires? What should you do?
You want a big, beefy bass. But do whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
I'll put it on little tiny legs just to get the comments going.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're hooking it up to a turntable, it's a whole different thing because you don't want those vibrations transferring into the turntable. And so the bases that I made for mine are separate from the table that the turntable is on, and they are super heavy. And then they have these special feet on the bottom of them to absorb the vibrations. It's a whole thing.
And then you have to make a platform and hang it from the ceiling on dampening cables so that it doesn't touch the floor because it's getting vibrations from the speakers.
I'm going to do everything you're not supposed to just to get the comments going.
He's going to take like a stack of concrete blocks and just set everything on top of the concrete.
I'm going to put one speaker on top of the other, and on top of that, I'm going to put the record player.
Yeah. The classic old console TV with the new TV sitting on top of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Look.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'll ever make the theremin video, but now you get me thinking, so maybe I will.
I hope so.
Maybe that would be a good, you know, having a project like that, I know it wouldn't do well if I do it how I normally do videos. And maybe that would be a good reason for me to try to figure out a way to make that video. You know what I mean? Like to find another way to draw people into it. What's that?
A suggestion would be like, you open up the video and it's almost documentary style. You have a cameraman and you say, I'm going to go back to my youth. And then you go knock on each one of the band members' door one at a time and ask them what they remember about the theremin. And then, like, one guy's, like, homeless with, like, a bottle of alcohol on the street. And the other guy's, like, at home with a cigarette. Like, also, and they're all, like, regretful that the band is dead. And, like, here you are. I'm going to bring back the light theremin one at a time. And you have, like, these really in-depth documentary-style meetings with them. And then you go, now with a plan. And then you go back and you make the thing. And then it's, like, it shows your garage late at night with just one light on. And you're working and getting the theremin going. And then it culminates with them all back together at some like local pub.
Mm. More realistically, it would be like, hey guys, why don't everybody bring their kids? Let's meet at the park and just hang out for a little bit in the 10 minutes that we all have where our schedules cross over.
Yeah.
You know.
But you could make the whole thing AI. Just
maybe AI. Yeah, there you go. Talk about not doing well. Anyway, so I've been working on this last week. I think I talked about it last time, the little like, The hinge thing that I was working on to take us about this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Oh, it doesn't work.
I thought what you showed us worked.
Well, it's weird. So I'll go ahead and explain the thing because I don't think I explained it last time. I was trying to make this is a little MagSafe charger puck that will hold your phone. Something is beeping. So it'll hold your phone, right? And it charges. So I was trying to make a thing that would stick on the backside of my monitor that I could swing out, snap my phone to, and it would charge. And then when I wasn't using it, I would swing it back up behind the monitor so it's out of the way. You don't see it. Doesn't take up space on the desk. That was the idea. And so I have modeled and changed this crazy mount with these flexible 3D printed notched hinges, which are super cool. And it's a articulated arm, and then I made this cool little, and anybody who's watching can see this, this little slot that has VHB tape that'll go on the back of the monitor, and this thing will snap in there and it'll hold it, and it's real cool until you put the phone on, and then it goes and like bends down because there's just, it's a giant lever. The joints are not tight because they can't be that tight. Anyway, so I got to yesterday, which should have been the last day of shooting, to finish this thing, and realized that it's just not going to work. So I switched gears and started working on this little thing. And for anybody that can't see this, it's a 3D printed hinge with that's spring-loaded, and it has like castle, I don't know what you call this, castle nut type.
Mm-hmm.
So you squeeze it, it unlocks, and then you twist it to where you want it, and then when you let go, it snaps mm-hmm. back. And I know this has been done before. I didn't create this, I don't think, but it was in my head, and I had these springs, so I started measuring, and in like 10 minutes, I went from frustration of, I think I even talked about this last week, the frustration of like, I'm
modeling
stuck,
it.
And then I solved the problem, and then yesterday, I got stuck, like hard stuck again. I'm like, what do I do? Does this video end in, well, it just doesn't work. 10 minutes taking this idea that was left over from the very beginning, modeling it and printing it, and it works like a champ. That's and cool. I mean, they are locked together. The joint will not move with the, under the weight of anything. I mean, you know, a phone. So I've completely changed the design of the thing, and these pieces all like are printed separately and snapped together, and you just have to put a spring in there. And like, so I'm not done with it. I still don't know if it's going to work, but this thing has been a roller coaster, and it was just so supposed to be like a dumb phone charger. Like, look, I can hide it away. Neato. And now I've come up with two different types of hinges that would be good in different situations. Like the original one, I finally got to it. I realized that it would be great in this orientation because the weight is not working against the hinge.
Right.
But if it's like a swing out sidearm, like it's articulated and it snaps in locations, and like it'd be really cool to use for something like this, but that's not what I'm trying to do. So I ended up with kind of two projects out of it, and I'm waiting for this print to finish to actually try the final result. But so that's what I've been doing, and it's cool, but also a little frustrating. It's taking longer than I, you know, wanted it to. And it's such a simple little mechanism. It feels kind of silly to, like, you're spending a lot of time taking a piece of electronics and changing everything about where those sit and how they look and all this stuff. And I'm trying to make something that you can't see. Mm. And it's like frustrating to spend a lot of time making something that you intentionally can't see. It should go up away behind the monitor. So. And I'm also trying to figure out, how do you make a thumbnail about a project that you're not supposed to be able to see? Like,
Yeah.
So I think it's going to end up being about the frustration about designing and failing and designing,
rather than the thumbnail, finished. It says like version 46.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, idea plus failure equals better idea or something to that, you know.
Yeah.
I was going to suggest when you have that first one where it doesn't resist gravity with the weight of the phone. My theory is you think of it where it's at and it works okay. And if you imagine it in your mind going really thin, it won't work at all. But if you imagine it in your mind, you know how you can grab a button and you could scale it up in Fusion and like change the weight of stuff. And like, what do you call that? Where everything happens at the same time.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
When you change just one scale. Thing, it'll change.
Oh, like all the parametric. The
parametric stuff,
right?
Yeah.
So imagine if that item's on screen and you change one dimension, it all gets skinny. And then you do it the opposite direction, it all gets fat. I always like think like that about an object, even though I'm not using Fusion, but that's sort of what the cartoon happens in my head. And it's almost working, but it's not working good enough. So what it needs is more mass.
Mm.
So that same idea you originally came up with would work if it just had more mass. And those joints were, if they're 5 millimeters in diameter now, if they were twice as thick, the logic is it might resist twice as much weight.
But more surface area, more friction.
So that's how I logically would look at something like that. And But you're on a new path, and it's better for
the thing that's really interesting, and I think what you're saying would apply, but the thing that's interesting about this first joint that I made, so for anybody that can't see it, it's rigid 3D parts that have flexible 3D printed parts in between them. And so you have these kind of meshed teeth that turn past each other, and they have little grooves in them, and they fit, and then they, you know, they lock in, and then you can turn past a point, and then they lock in again. The problem was I had to make them, they needed to be tight enough to hold the thing, but loose enough to be able to assemble, because I had to, like, stack these squishable pieces, squish them together, and then assemble the joint. And so there's this weird place in there that I could probably eventually find that's, like, squishy enough to
pop
be in. Able to put together, yeah, to pop in place, but not so squishy that it does what it's doing now. So, but I already did a bunch of experimentation on that, and I thought I ended up at the best place. So rather than, you know, another week of experimenting those same things off camera, just like, I'm going to switch gears. So I don't know. We'll see if it works or not, but it's been an interesting couple of days. And then the next project is more of a furniture piece, and it's frustrating for a different set of reasons. It's like, or not frustrating, it's unknown for a different set of reasons. And so I'm trying to finish this one thing and think through this, but also think about the next thing, because I have to design it and I have to get materials and I have, you know, all those types of things. So that's kind of where I'm at. David, you came up with a topic before we started recording, and I do not remember what it was now.
It was, how do we consume social media? Because we all make social media, but how do we consume it for personal or business use?
Mm.
We were chatting a little bit about using or not using various social media things, and I was just curious on what you guys watch.
Mm.
I watch all day long. My phone goes from one. I consume a lot of news and current events, and actually a lot of history. You get to those moments in time throughout the day where you realize, I am consuming a lot of nonsense, so let me balance that with, and believe it or not, I listen to a lot of legal, I never talk about this, but I listen to a lot of legal lectures about this amendment. Like, for instance, on the drive down, I listened to a lot of legalese about the 14th Amendment and a law called 1983, Section 1983. A lot of civil rights stuff. I listened to a lot of legal stuff, but that's really just to balance out all the gossipy BS news stuff. So I feel like if for every annoying gossipy thing I listen to, I have to listen to something that's going to put some history or some legalese into my brain. And so on the drive down and drive back, I do find certain legal lectures and a lot of it Fourth Amendment rights stuff.
Are these long Amendment YouTube videos stuff? Or podcasts? You know,
these legal lectures are sometimes 40, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes long. Sometimes they get boring. They start turning into noise in the background, but I listen to a lot of that. And I mean, you could take a full legal course online. You might not be able to take your bar exam, but you'd be educated, which is really the point. So a lot of that, and then I consume a lot of the stuff that we all do, but that's more visual. So sometimes I try and find things that I could just listen to. So more than 80% of what I hit on my YouTube algorithm is just stuff that I could listen to, because I'm not, mm-hmm. phone is just like on the stand and I'm working and I'm listening in the background, or I'm driving, of course. But I use my iPhone all the time. I hardly ever use my iPad. Sometimes when we're in bed together, we'll watch it. But, and I haven't had a TV in 14 years until Rachel came into my life, and Rachel encouraged me to get a TV out of storage, which I had. And so we set the TV up, and it's got the internet cube that connects to it. And we're able to watch everything through the internet cube.
The internet cube.
And, what's funny is, like, it's just one big mishmash of streaming things. So if we watch something and then I want to go back to it, I just never go back to it. Cause if I'm alone, I have no idea where it is. And the idea, every time I touch the remote control, it just, like, swipes to a completely new network and thing. So I'm not allowed to touch the remote under my own ruling. the new remote, it's literally, it's like holding a piece of chewing gum from the 80s with extreme sensitive touchpad. You know, it's like a strip of Doublemint gum.
Oh, okay.
Holding the remote is like holding a strip of Doublemint gum.
I see. A strip of, an unchewed strip of a gum. Got it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's that makes it. A lot more sense.
Yeah, and I feel like a, like literally like a grizzly bear holding it. I can't swipe the pad. I can't do anything. Sometimes I don't touch it.
I love how you use the word ruling, and because of all your influence from all the legal stuff.
Legal stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I made a declaration that I'm not allowed to touch the Doublemint gum remote control.
Do you actively, do you care about what's in your subscription feed? Do you actively unsubscribe and subscribe to?
That's a good question. I don't think I've ever unsubscribed from anything in my life. And at the same token, I don't know if I've ever subscribed to anything. If I'll notice that I watch somebody and then it gets suggested, so I'll watch them. There's a couple of news channels and a couple of these legalese things that I watch that I have the bell on. So, and sometimes I notice can you have the bell and not subscribe? I don't even know. And they just pop up on my phone. So there's only like four things that pop up on my phone. And
David, we are not one of those things.
I know.
No, but it's funny because I realize I should push more bells, but I don't. I just don't
should
think
you?
About it.
Should you though?
No.
Yeah, should really. You? That's no, a good question.
But the funny, I pushed these bells years ago. I guess I could unpush them. You know, it's like, yeah. Remember when it became out, like, push the bell to get the note. Like, remember there was like a bit of like a surge and everybody was like, you got to push the bell to get the notifications. So I did that around that marketing time when everybody was saying, push the bell. And I've never pushed another bell. In fact, last night somebody popped up and I was like, I'm not subscribed to this person. I've been watching, like, even like, for instance, like maybe Matthias, I don't know. Somebody like, well, I'm definitely subscribed now, but years went by before I realized I wasn't subscribed. It wasn't like, it's just not a thing that,
yeah,
I notice. Because I'm honestly, somebody's content, I'm watching it.
It doesn't even mean anything to subscribe anymore. Just because you're subscribed does not mean you're going to see the stuff. So I don't
know. Exactly. So that's like, it's kind of meaningless. But I'll get an urge to watch somebody's stuff, and then I'll go and see what they've been up to. That happens a lot. But
so I had a conversation with a friend yesterday, and we were talking about this kind of, and she said something about how she watches a lot of TikTok and, what was the other thing she said? But she was talking about the difference between her and her husband. Her husband will spend time on YouTube. She never goes on YouTube unless she's trying to learn how to do something. And her husband will go on and watch shorts and gaming stuff and, you know, like just his interests. Whereas she spends time on Pinterest when she's looking for inspiration for something. She does a lot of gardening and so that type of thing. And then TikTok for just the kind of fun or inspirational type stuff. And we were talking about the difference between like men and women. Obviously, that's not a set in stone thing, but in their case, and I think in a lot of couples that I know, they go to different places for content. It's not like they necessarily are both on Instagram all the time. Some people do, but you know, I think Jenny and I, if we ever send anything to each other, it's on Instagram. That's probably where I end up watching things most. I almost never watch YouTube unless I'm sitting down at my desk or we're watching something on the TV that like there's like two channels that we keep up with as like a TV show kind of, you know, thing. But I mean, other than that, like I don't know that this is what we were trying to talk about, but I intentionally am trying to consume less media just in general. Like
I feel guilty by doing that. And that's why I say I try and pump and legalese into my,
yeah. And I'm not trying to say, I'm making no statement on this towards anybody else at all, but I find that I'm spending, or I have found in the past that I've just spent too much time consuming all things, too much time consuming media, too much time consuming food, too much time, you know, and as my kids are growing up And they are being introduced into this world of consumption where it's just like, yeah, you have every app that can connect you to everything and you can play games constantly and you can do this constantly and you can watch this and you can listen to this and you have every song ever made at your disposal to listen to. I found that I need to model to them some like connect between, is my time being used in general for consumption or creation? And what is the balance there between those two things? And especially a couple of my kids, I have to model that differently because their tendency is towards consumption in an unhealthy way, in an over consumption. And so my modeling needs to be less and create more, engage more. So because of that, over the last few years, I found myself actively not consuming as much media, but then at the same time, a couple of years ago, I got really interested in soccer because my kids play soccer. And so, and then I watched enough soccer that I started to realize what was actually happening. And now I love soccer. And now I watch soccer without my kids. I will, and this is anybody that's known me growing up and as an adult, that's a weird thing for Bob to intentionally go watch a sport event. But like, it's a thing that I enjoy now. So, but I do have to balance how often am I going to sit down in front of the TV and watch a 90-minute soccer game? And what is that 90 minutes not being in my life that it could be somewhere else? So like I'm kind of wrestling with that and I'm trying to figure out a good balance between that consumption. Like I usually try to do something else while I'm watching it, feel a little bit better about
it. Yeah, I hardly ever sit and watch. It's almost always listening because I'm always moving and working on something. I never at least 10 or 15% of the time I'm watching what's on the computer or I'm just listening. It's just letting the audio play. I was going to say sometimes, well, not anymore, but when I was living with a different person and that person would go on my computer or my iPad and watch skin stuff, like I don't even want to say it because it grosses me out. Some people like watching these things at the, what is a skin doctor called?
Like a dermatologist. Yeah.
Dermatology stuff.
Yeah. Unless you want me to throw up on the video right now.
And then, so I would open my phone and suddenly there would be, I don't even want to say what the real word is, all this dermatology stuff. And I'd be like, what, could you use your own phone to, like, don't use my iPad to, because now all of a sudden I have all this I can't even say the real word, all this dermatology stuff I don't want to look at. And so that is, if I stay away from it, I stay away from Al-Qaeda. I stay away from dermatology stuff. I'm joking. But these are the type of things that I,
wondering where we're going here.
No, Dave, you asked me like, how do I not want to influence my algorithm? And that's, I don't want like lots of doctor stuff I don't want to look at. And so I like, for instance, if there's a something, I won't go right to YouTube for certain things. I'll go to Google, and then I'll just read about it versus instantly searching it in my YouTube, because then I'm going to be fed 20 videos on that topic, which I only need to know this one thing. I don't need to do a deep dive on any one particular thing. And I do consciously sometimes make sure that it's not in my search. So I definitely do influence it that way.
I think I have a tendency to get addicted two things. I think that's just in my personality. And so I used to be very big into sports, Cleveland sports. I would watch all 162 Cleveland baseball games, all 82 Cleveland basketball games and football games. It was almost like if I missed a game, I felt there was a hole in my heart because like I need to watch every single one. And then podcasts came along and I got addicted to podcasts and I would listen to all these podcasts all the time. And so over the last few years, I have deleted all of that. I don't watch baseball anymore. I don't watch football. I don't watch basketball. And, I don't subscribe to any podcast, not a single one. And, I think, unfortunately, I've replaced that with some YouTube stuff because, you know, you leave there's an empty space and I tend to fill it. But, So the podcasts that I do listen to are only on YouTube, and they will be playing in the background. And one's a comedy podcast and one's an interview podcast. And my feeds are really important to me. So I am constantly unsubscribing and subscribing because I want, and I use my YouTube homepage just as much as I use my YouTube subscription page. YouTube does a pretty good job of like, you've watched this, here's a whole bunch more of this.
Yeah, and I'll make sure that when I do watch something, I make a conscious decision. Like if I search certain legal topics, I'll be like, okay, I don't mind being fed more of this legal topic.
You can go, if you, hot tip, if you go into your YouTube history, you can delete your history of certain videos so they stop recommending you more of those That's particular videos. So I don't watch I don't watch any woodworking videos. And so if you went to my YouTube page right now, you wouldn't see a single YouTube video being recommended to me. It's just not it's not how I want to be entertained anymore. I woodwork all day. That's enough for me. I do have three different YouTube accounts, and I will go into another account when there are certain woodworkers that I will watch on YouTube just because they are absolutely phenomenal. And so I'll go into the other YouTube account to watch those videos because I don't want a bunch of maker recommendations in my main account, because that main account is, they are the worst. It's just, I'm really precious about my feed, and I have unsubscribed from a lot of things that I really used to enjoy, but now give me an anxiety. So, I used to watch a lot of monologues, late night monologues. They used to be my routine every morning. And now it's do not recommend, because I don't want news. I'd rather just not know, and shame on me for that, but I would rather just not know because it's too stressful for me.
Tell you everything you need to want to know.
Yeah. Well, important. I'm lucky enough. I live with somebody who will let me know when, important time to things panic. Happen. Yeah. When it's time to panic. Yeah. So when it's, hop in the car and to head to Canada or Mexico. I still use Facebook quite a bit. I don't post on Facebook a whole lot, but my Facebook
feed, I never post on Facebook. Whenever it's on Instagram, goes to Facebook, and then I talk to my third cousin. Like, I really like what you did the other day, and I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, you know, that thing you did and you said. I'm like, what are you talking about? Then I can't remember. But I only use Facebook to go to Facebook Market.
Well, see, we were talking about this before we hit record. You know, my personal Facebook, not my business Facebook, is very picked over. Like, if you talk about political stuff, even if you're on the same side, you are hidden from my feed. I just don't want that anxiety. So most of my personal Facebook feed is very close friends and family, and like all these Facebook groups that I'm a part of, like synth groups and music stuff and F1 stuff. So I still have one sport in my life, and that's F1. So I went from five sports to one sport. So I'm doing the opposite of what Bob is doing, where Bob is going to be a huge baseball, basketball, football, and soccer fan here pretty soon.
No, I absolutely will not. I'll tell you that for sure.
But yeah, everything, all my social, and I should use Instagram more for business purposes, but I don't even think to log into Instagram very much. But yeah, man, my feeds are really important to me because they cause me a lot of anxiety and stress. And so I am constantly removing and adding to things that make me feel good. And it is still, even though algorithms will fight it, I'm still trying to use it for feel good stuff and stuff that entertainment. So I'm constantly refining my feeds.
I think there's this thing in my head that says that I use Instagram for inspiration or like a positive, inspiration is the wrong word, but like positive exposure, right? You come across occasional positive artistic or like, you know, a new car that I've never seen, some vintage car that just looks cool. Like, I don't need to buy one. I don't need to know everything about it. But like, wow, I didn't know that existed. That's neat. You know, that kind of a, I think, or I tell myself that that's what I use Instagram for in most social media. But those moments of, wow, look at that thing. I didn't know that existed. They happen very rarely, if I'm being honest. And so I wonder how much of an addiction to social media is masked by that thing that, I don't know if anybody else tells themselves something like that, but like, there is a good outcome to this. There is a positive reason to continue to like consume this stuff and continue to go back to whatever feed you're on and to look through it, because there's going to be something funny or positive or creative or something that's going to come up. And there are those things, but I'm pretty sure that the balance of what I think I'm getting out of that creatively and what I'm actually getting out of that creatively is really, really different than what I think it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Occasionally, I will find somebody like my suggestion for this week is somebody that I had no idea existed. Very, very cool. But I also don't need to know that exists. It's not going to influence me in a way. It's not going to change what I do. It's not going to force me to do something that I've never done before. It's just cool, right? It's just cool. And I wonder what the value, there is value in that. I'm not saying there's not value in that, but I'm wondering what the value is in that versus what I give up when I spend so much time scrolling, and there's got to be something positive. Well, it's right around the corner. It's a, you know what I mean?
There is a conscious decision that I actually really do consciously make this decision. Am I eating Doritos or am I eating protein when I'm looking at stuff? What am I doing right now? Is this just cheese flavored popcorn or is this protein? And that's really what I make the decision when I'm watching something. And if I consciously can decide and be okay with it, I'm like, okay, this is just, I'm just eating potato chips right now. That's all I'm doing. Or, you know, I'm eating like grilled chicken. That's the difference. What comes into my eyes and my ears, I really do make that decision. And that's why sometimes I need to balance my meals with some grilled chicken or some vegetables in the way of history and legally.
Yeah. That's a good analogy though, because I mean, I think it is important to have, our family was talking about this. It's important to have days of rest, right? So like in the church, we would call it a Sabbath, like a time where you intentionally put everything off and just you rest, right? And you kind of regroup. That can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people, but it's good for your soul. It's good for your body to rest. And sometimes that means watching cheese flavored popcorn. You know what I mean? Sometimes that means like, this doesn't have to do anything for my life. I can just enjoy watching a movie because I enjoy watching a movie or whatever the thing is. And so the balance there, the diet is a good way to talk about that, because you need both of those things to different degrees at different times. And I wish I could say that like I spent more time on the protein side of things, but I probably don't, you know. But I think that's what I'm going for.
You know, this is just a recommendation, but as far as podcasts go, a really good balanced meal, to keep the metaphor alive,
there you go,
is The Moth. Do you guys ever watch, listen to The Moth?
I remember you talking about it. I've never heard it.
You
got to
check The Moth out. It's just life stories about regular people. It's not salacious in any way. Sometimes there might be some sort of salacious aspect to a story, but it's to a greater point. And it's really even tone stories. Dave, I've been listening to The Moth since it started 20 years ago. And it's great. It's just storytelling. And you just listen. It's usually somebody has some sort of arc and learning experience. And it's really, really nice.
We'll cherry pick episodes like on long car drives to go visit family or whatever, because they're perfect for that.
Yeah. The Moth. I've actually almost been invited to The Moth a couple times. I know one of the producers, and one of the producers is a fan, and he lives in New York State, and he occasionally is like, hey, we're going to have one, and I've never been officially invited, but we've talked about it.
I do want to clarify two things. One is, I subscribe to both of you on my main YouTube channel. Because I want to know what you guys are up to. The problem with that is Jimmy will do this blacksmithing project, and then YouTube's like, you love blacksmithing. Here's a whole thing that I have. Not interested.
Yes.
And I don't want it to come across as I'm super snobby. There's no doubt I'm super, super snobby about a lot of things, but I'm not snobby about woodworking and maker stuff. I just don't want to consume it because that is what I do all day. And so that's why I have a separate channel when I do want to go watch the latest Drew Witt video or whatever. And I'll go over there and watch it. And, I'm just, it's all about, it's just supposed to be about entertainment. And that's how I consume my entertainment now.
And I think that's totally reasonable. I think anybody that does, well, I mean, everybody does something. So anybody that does something doesn't necessarily want to watch other people do that same thing all the time. When there's somebody that's a standout, somebody that is really amazing at what they do, you might learn something or you might just enjoy seeing a skilled person. Yeah, sure. But I mean, I'm the same way. And I don't think that makes me like hateful to our community to not want to watch a whole lot of our community in what they do, because it's just, it's what I do for work. It's what I do all the time. Like, I don't want to, I mean, so if I watch somebody else's video about making a thing, my brain doesn't watch it from an entertainment perspective like it should, like a normal person would. It watches it from like a, oh, well, man, I should have done that. Oh, why didn't I ever do that thing? Yeah. Oh, man, I should get better at this thing. I should start working on it. I should change my, to what, because it's so good that I should start to try, and you know, my brain is saying like, you should start to emulate this. You should change what you're doing to match this good thing that you're watching. That's not good for me. I mean, it's not always bad for me, but I don't watch other people's maker videos and go like, wow, good job. It's like, wow, I feel bad about myself because you're so good at what you do.
Yeah.
So there's this weird thing in there. There's certain people that like you guys and some other friends. I want to watch what you do because I want to support what you do, and I don't necessarily feel like I have to keep up with you. You know what I mean? It's not that same kind of thing. But I don't go searching for fine woodworking videos and 3D printing videos like, and whatever.
The maker videos that I do subscribe to and watch, I'm not watching to learn, although I will probably learn something because I am not an expert at anything that I do. But it's almost like I am watching them as somebody would watch a vlog. Or a lifestyle video. I'm just like, I want to know, you know, what's the next thing that Bob is making? What's going on in his life? And then, you know, there's always certain reasons. Usually, if I'm watching a project making video, I'm not watching it for the project. I'm watching it how they approach the project. Like, you know, Bob's always going to overcome some sort of obstacle, problem solving thing. And that's what I love about Bob. Jimmy is going to make something that I've never seen in my entire life, and I am going to pick up some sort of design tip or like, whoa, I didn't know that tool existed type thing. And, you know, there's always the reason I'm watching the videos is not from what's in the title or thumbnail. There's that thing about that person that I really like.
And I've said this before, but that would be a really nice thing to figure out how to implement into the algorithm on YouTube.
I know.
Why did you watch this video?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, not because it's blacksmithing. Because it's Jimmy.
Yes.
You know, or whatever. I don't know how you'd do that, but that would be cool. So is there, you kind of mentioned earlier, like unsubscribing to things. And you talked about sports, which you kind of unsubscribed to sports. But is there anything in the recent history that like is something you like that you've had to kind of back away from content-wise because it just wasn't productive, or there's too much of it, or it's been run into the ground? Is there anything like that? Because I think the maker video world in general, in very, very general terms, has become that for me. Like, you can't watch it all because there's just so many people making awesome stuff now. And there's so many crossovers with other people's videos and what I do that I try not to be as influenced by watching other people. Like I want to solve problems on my own, which I know is counterproductive sometimes, but I want to see the problem and come up with my own solution rather than see a problem and be like, oh yeah, I saw this one person do this one thing that one time. And so now I'm just going to yank their solution. And so I had to kind of back away from a lot of maker content creator consumption, not the people, their consumption for that reason. Is there anything like that for you all that you've had to back off from?
Nothing like super recent that I can think of. There was, you know, for a while years ago when vlogs were huge, I used to watch the vlogs because it was interesting to see other people's lifestyle.
That's true. That's something, yeah. I don't watch them much anymore.
But what happened was people would have interesting lives and then vlog about it, but then it turns into they now make their lives more interesting to vlog about it. And so it kind of exaggerates itself over time. And so I stopped watching vlogs, but I've started to get back into them a little bit. So like
same types.
Usually the ones they're a little bit more cinematic. I know that there's this huge trend of low effort video, like that Sam Cerlec weightlifter guy, and there's some other, like, they just post like one, like no edit long videos, and they seem to be doing really well. And I'm not attracted to those. I like watching the high effort ones. Like every, you know, the shots are well calculated. The color looks amazing. The story is interesting. There's a beginning, middle, and end. I'm really liking high effort vlogs again. And they do seem to be coming back a little.
So, Jimmy, is that same for you? Like the vlog stuff is just something.
Yeah, I guess I used to consume it more often. I don't really pay attention much anymore because I give it that same test: is this junk food or is this protein? You know, a lot of times, and well, like what I consider high protein would be like Marquez, because it's learning product development and it. In a big way, and it's also just learning what's good and hot and new as far as consumer products go and the things that I'm
interested
in.
That's not why I watch him, though.
Why?
I watch him because of him, because he's so freaking good.
Yeah. No, he's absolutely a genius at delivering the information. He makes the information almost feel like it's just transplanted into your head. There's no effort in a way.
There's no filler. There's everything.
Yeah. It's just a good common sense download when you listen to him, and that he definitely frames the information in a much more pleasant way than mostly anybody else online. Absolutely. But when it comes to daily vlogs and lifestyle stuff, I don't pay much attention. Every once in a while I'll go and see if Casey has anything new, and he hasn't been posting in a long time. But I would like Casey's stuff just because it's New York and it's where I used to live, and it's familiar.
Yeah,
but obviously he doesn't post much at all. But in general, yeah. No, like I'm just trying to think. I just, a lot of legalese stuff and a lot of comedy stuff too, as far as podcasts go. I listen to Mark and Sam and Bill Burr and who else? A couple others. I'm just drawing a blank.
Well, like, I know this is kind of counter to, you know, what we do. We podcast and we make videos. My like outlook on all this stuff for myself, obviously, is to consume less, but it more specifically, like you're saying with the whole balanced meal, is to consume well. If I'm going to watch something, if I'm going to listen to a podcast or an audiobook, which I do when I'm running and stuff, they should be like good for me. Good in an entertainment way, they should be good for a educational way, good for a enlightening way, I don't know, good rather than noise. And I think it's really easy. There's so much available in every aspect of media. There's a really interesting topic this is like a whole nother separate topic, but there's so much available that we can easily put it on in the background as a part of everything we do, as a part of every moment in the shop, as a part of every run, as a part of every sitting on the couch. We can always have something just running. And I think that's not really good for us. It's not good for me to have that constantly running. And if it is running at any time, it should be filling me with something that's beneficial in some way.
I do fast. Like,
that's the way that I'm looking at media stuff at the moment.
I do fast, and I never got Sirius XM for my new truck. So it's just whatever's on the iPhone. I never got Sirius because I said I'm just going to be scrolling through all the news talk and all the BS, and Howard Stern kind of has run its course for me. But so on the trip down, I listened to a lot of Herzog interviews, just playing in the background.
Nice.
And I watched two Herzog docs.
That's when
I
protein right there.
Yeah, and that protein from a filmmaker's point of view, and just obviously just an interesting life. And when the Herzog, I remember I would listen to one Herzog doc, and then when it ended, I just didn't touch my phone for like 100 miles, which is a long time. It's like an hour and a half. There were moments of time where I just don't touch the phone. Something might end, and I'm just wrapped up in under the truck or under the car or whatever it is I'm doing, and that's it. I just don't turn on anything. And then I honestly make a conscious decision. I'm like, okay, now's the time to just ideate in my brain.
Yeah, you need time of not consuming anything. It's so important. I would like to do a whole 2 hour long podcast on my hatred for autoplay. I seriously hate autoplay so much across any...
Somehow, some way, autoplay turned off on my YouTube and it doesn't jump to the next thing. I must have accidentally turned it off. So when a video ends, it just goes silent.
I need, like, so, you know, if I'm watching something on Hulu, I don't want it to autoplay the next episode or some random movie. I want to choose, and I need that downtime. Sometimes you come across something that's so good, and I just need to digest it a little bit. I need some of that silence.
Yeah, for sure.
Just a quick thing about Sirius XM. I never turned it on in my truck. I guarantee you the last two trucks I have Sirius XM on in somebody's life, and I'm paying for it. But my brother John bought a used truck off the lot, and when the guy goes, the Sirius XM is on. Nobody goes, I don't know whose it is, but I got the truck used, and it's got Sirius. My brother had a truck for like 4 years with Sirius XM. There's no idea who's paying for it. So if you have Sirius XM on some rando credit card, make sure you turn it on. And for that reason, I never turned it on in this truck. I said, because I'm never going to be able to turn it off because I have no idea where the account is. I pay no attention.
Once in a while, I will switch to Sirius XM in my truck just to see if they're doing their free weekend or their free week, but they don't seem to do it as much as they used to.
Yeah, I just know that it's not turned on, so I never even put it on. I have it on my other car. It's in my other car. I still kept my small truck, so I use that from time to time as my backup car.
I miss the, and I suppose I could do this with my music streaming service, but I miss like the channels of just 70s music and just 80s music. I love the genre specific channels.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a brief thing real quick and then we'll wrap up the show. So my kids listen to music, just talking about eras of music. My kids listen to a lot of different types of music and they're different ages. And so they just like, will hear a song and then they just go down a path and they're like, oh, you know, tell me another song by this band or whatever. So the other day, my second son, he's the third kid, comes down and he's got his earbuds in and he's like doing his chore. And he pulls his earbud out and he's like, have you ever heard of the Bee Gees? I was like, yeah. And he goes, they're awesome. And then he puts his earbud back in and he's doing it. And then he's like, comes down later and pulls his earbud out. He's like, have you ever heard of Chicago? I really like Chicago.
Oh my goodness.
Like,
he's got good taste.
Yeah, man. And so this is the kid that like, he loves classical music. He plays like ragtime. He listens to Elton John and Queen and Billy Joel and, you know, like Henry Mancini. Loves Henry Mancini.
That's
stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah. They're really interesting. But it was just really funny to have him. I wish I had that video clip of him going, have you ever heard of the Bee Gees? It's like, there's this band, Dad, that you've probably never heard of called the Bee Gees.
Fun fact, my friend Brian Kantorski, his father played on some BG albums. He was a studio musician back in the day. So,
wow, that's
cool. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters.
Can I get before you do that, can I give a public service announcement real quick about something I said on last week's podcast? I mentioned that, you know, we were talking about contracts and I said, hey, you could take that contract, upload it to AI to help you understand and break it down in simple terms, which, is a great thing to do. But somebody reached out to me, Noah Smuts said, hey, you got to be really careful about doing this. And I know I should know better. But when you upload something to AI, it trains their algorithm. So you got to be really careful about proprietary information. And so if you do use like ChatGPT to understand a contract, make sure you're on private mode because private mode doesn't train the algorithms if you trust that.
Right. So, yeah. Yes. Okay.
I should have mentioned that last week.
That's a good tip. That right there is my hesitation with using chatbots. Right there. Cool. Well, big thanks to our Patreon supporters, everybody over there that makes the show possible and that support what we do and that listen to us even when they could be doing something that's more beneficial for them. Thank you. So big thanks to Nick Ryan, Corey Ward, Albers Woodworks, Works by Solo, Chad from Mancrafting, Rich at Low End Design, Odin Leather Goods, Sean Beckner, Scott at Daddy Yourself DIY, Jeff at the New Janky Workshop, sorry, Jeff, Warren Works, Michael Menegin, Crabtree Creative, OMG Made, and A Pretty Big Deal. Also people like Chris McCormick. There's a lot of other people that support us that don't ever get their names called out, but we appreciate them as well, and they all get the after show, which is after this show. You get that from Patreon, so you got to go to patreon.com/makingit, sign up, and then you get the little URL for the RSS feed for the after show. You can put it in your podcast player. You also get links for the YouTube after show. You can watch it over there. So go check that out if you want. Again, that's patreon.com/makingit. Thank you for your support. Do you guys have anything to recommend this week?
I just sent you over Cutting It Close, the channel of a young man named Ryan, who did his talk at WorkbenchCon. Very successful on Etsy and selling stuff online. He created a couple of viral products, a docking station, and he talks about how he wasn't groundbreakingly original. He just somehow put together the chemistry to make and sell a lot of them. Where you come home at night, you put your phone and your watch and your change and docking station. So he talked a lot about his success and how he got there. Still under 30 years old, and when we said hello for the last time before I left, he said, "Thank you for everything, Mr. Duresta." And I said, "Please don't ever do that again. Just call me by my name." Never felt older than that moment.
Yeah. Away.
Nice kid. Really, really smart kid. Really, really humble and intelligent and happy to share and make friends. Good kid. I'm calling him a kid because he called me Mister.
Oh, yeah. It's payback.
He's like 6'5". He looks like a football player.
Cool.
Great energy. David. Really great energy.
What you got, David?
So my pick is a channel called Look Mum, No Computer. And typically, this guy's a freaking genius, and he can build synthesizers, analog synthesizers from scratch. He really knows his stuff. He's an amazing musician, and I'm pretty sure I recommended him before, but this is one of those cases where I will watch a channel because of the personality, not because of what they're making. And he just started rebuilding this car. That's a total 180. Rebuilding a car is different than building a synthesizer. And so he's been working on this car, and I just enjoy it. His latest video is I think it's an old Mini Cooper. I don't know my cars very well, but he's rebuilding this engine, and it's called the Mini Engine for Idiots. And he goes over how engines work, and he's learning and redoing this. It's, I don't know, just a great channel, and I love his personality.
Awesome. Mine is an Instagram channel that I came across through somebody else had made a video about them. It's called Carmine Street Guitars, and it's a guitar shop in New York City on Carmine Street.
Yep.
Imagine that.
I know what that is.
And they make guitars, and I think it's a father-daughter business. I assume they're father and daughter. I don't really know that because I don't really know much about them.
They but make guitars out of the found wood around the town?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they've had a couple of viral clips going around lately. They're really cool.
Yeah, there was like a guy. The video that I saw was a guy that like shows cool stuff around New York, I guess, and he went in and worked with the girl building guitars for the day. And, you know, learned about stuff. But you get to see the inside of the shop and these, like, stacks of wood that they have and their process for building stuff in this small little space. I mean, I guess it's small. It looks small. I don't know. Anyway, you look at their Instagram, like, the guitars are awesome. It's all this reclaimed wood, tons of texture and tons of detail, and Just very cool materials put together. Like there's one here with like a copper, it looks like a copper pick guard and bridge and like plate for the electronics. And it's over top of what looks to be like old growth pine with these big knots in it. I don't know. It's just very cool. And this was the channel I was talking about. Like I'm probably never going to build another electric guitar because I've done that a couple of times. I don't need any more guitars. So I'm not looking at this because I need to be inspired for what to build next, but man, they're gorgeous. Like it's just cool. So that's what I got. You guys got anything else for this week?
I'll tell you about a funny podcast in the after show. I'll promote it.
Mm, I'm going to tell you about a new tool that I have showing up on Friday on the podcast.
Ooh.
I'm excited.
I got a bandsaw from Harvey delivered the day I went to WorkbenchCon, so I got to unwrap that and play with that. Big new computerized bandsaw from Harvey, so shout out to Harvey.
Computerized
bandsaw. I'm interested in the computerized part.
Yeah.
It tracks. Does it have a theremin on it?
And a few other things, yeah.
Oh, I've always wanted that.
Yeah. Oh, man. That might be the project video right there. A bandsaw with a built-in theremin. So as you push your hand
into the
through, blade, you push the wood through, and it goes, whoop. Yeah.
Yeah. As your hands get closer to the blade, it slows down.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That's a good idea.
Hmm. Cool. All right. Well,
so I'll slow down. And that's all stop.
You'll still cut your fingers off if you really try.
Yeah, just really slow.
Take a long time.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll catch you next time.
Love you guys. Love you guys.